What's up for today?
I've heard there's a concept called doing an Avera Lishma, or just the concept of Avera Lishma. What exactly is that?
Well, the term Avera Lishma is mentioned by Chazal. It's the Gemara Maseches Nazir. It talks about Yael. Yael was the person who killed the Midianite general Sisera in the Book of Shoftim. And it mentions that the way she got him drunk, the way she convinced him to drink and everything else, was by having relations with him. And even though that was something very prohibited, but she did it l'shem shamayim, and that's called a musag of Avera Lishma. That's a term Chazal actually use. An Avera for a greater good. There are areas where Chazal are using the same concept without the words Avera Lishma. For example, Eis Lasos L'Hashem, right? We quote the Pasuk when it says time to stand up for Hashem. We nullify the Torah. That is why the Torah Shebel Peh was written down, even though you're not allowed to write down Torah Shebel Peh. Now, obviously, there's a great, great danger in trying to make these judgments, because a person could become anything. A person could say, well, to tell people to drive to Shul is an Avera Lishma. So generally speaking, Yoel did it on her own. Yoel was a Neviah. She was a prophetess. But on her own, we're not allowed to do it. And in fact, Rav Chaim Volozhiner says, although it's hard for me to reconcile it with the Gemara itself, that Avera Lishma is a pre-Matan Torah concept. That before Matan Torah, morality depended on what you consider to be necessary for a given situation. So it's possible to make a cheshbon that even if it's against what Hashem generally wants, in a given case, you make an exception. Rav Chaim Volozhiner says, once the Torah gave us the Torah, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu now has defined when you can deviate, so there's no room for subjectivity. This is what Rav Chaim Volozhiner says. Again, the problem is that both the case of Yoel and the case of writing down Torah Shebal Peh are after Matan Torah, so today the judgments are made. But I think as a general rule, although we almost never apply it to ourselves, Avera Lishma means a sin that is being undertaken for a higher good to be Mekadesh Shem Shemayim, and that would normally be a temporary thing. Horashah, Elio on Har HaKarmel, where he sacrifices korbanos outside of a Beis HaMikdash in order to discredit Avodah Zarah. That would also be an example of an Avera Lishma. That's the basic idea.
Besides like cut cheeses, is there any inyan to wait between eating milk and meat afterwards?
Well, we paskin no, except for a hard cheese, and Zohar Shaila, what is a hard cheese? The Zohar does say, the Alpi Kabbalah, the Zohar says you should not eat meat and dairy within the same clock hour. Now that doesn't mean, the same clock hour does not mean you have to wait 60 minutes, but it means if you eat between 1 and 2, so the Zohar says you shouldn't have fleishiks till it's 2. In other words, not within the same hour of day. So even if you wait 5 minutes to 2, you'd wait 5 minutes and the like. But la halacha, we're not knowing. I mean, most people do not follow the Zohar either. So there would be no of any type of waiting. Yeah.
Why, when learning Gemara, do you try to find the path of least machlokas? This seems like a bit of a self-fulfilling prophecy. Because we want to believe that there is as little machlokas as possible in our tradition, so we just go and try to find it. But couldn't it be that the correct way to learn a Gemara is that there's more machlokas than the minimum possible amount?
Well, you know, it's entirely possible. But again, part of why, you know, in science you have a very similar concept of called Occam's razor, that's how you pronounce it, in which when you have multiple explanations for a phenomenon, you try to seek the simplest explanation that creates the least complexity. That's actually a rule in scientific discovery. And by minimizing machlokas and disagreement, you're actually coming up with a simpler structure in which there is consensus on more of the details. Now, why we do that in Torah Shebal Peh in particular, I think does have a certain logic, because generally speaking, since we believe that the core foundational principles of Torah Shebal Peh were given to Moshe, although not all the details, so our assumption is that if two people of equal greatness have the same primary sources and they're using their logic and their reasoning, we try to bring them, we try to assume that they would come to similar conclusions, because the basic data in both both people's possession is the same data. So that's why the Gemara has a, sometimes it admits there's a big machlokas, but it has a tendency to try to minimize that machlokas.
Both in science and in learning Gemara, it doesn't seem like necessarily a good idea. Sure, we want to seek the simplest theory in science, but it doesn't mean it's going to be the most accurate. Similarly, we want to, we see two people of equal greatness. They have the same primary sources.
Yep.
So we assume they got the same data.
Yep.
Which it's a reasonable assumption, but why do we just blanket, put that as a blanket assumption for all similar machlokas?
Well, all I can say is it's an assumption. I wouldn't say it's an absolute rule. In other words, when we have different possibilities to understand different opinions, right? We can understand it in a way that there's less agreement. We can understand it in a way that there's more agreement. If we don't have a compelling proof one way or the other, that's what we're talking about. We don't have a proof one way or the other. The operating assumption is we try to understand it as more consensus than disagreement. But I'm not saying that's not, let's say, halakha l'moshe m'Sinai per se, that disagreements have to be minimized. It's a logical way of trying to, number one, reduce complexity, and number two, is that when great people will look at the same information, their minds will come to as close a conclusion as would be possible. In other words, it's a rule of thumb. It's a presumption. It's not a halakha that it has to be that way. And as I wouldn't say theologically it has to be that way, and the Gemara will often concede. And in fact, as you look at different Rishonim that are explaining a sugya, some will explain a sugya which minimizes machlokas, others, because of logical arguments, because of other proofs, and the like, will be compelled to expand the area of machlokas. But I think I would call it the nature of a preliminary operating assumption. When you don't have evidence one way or the other.
Is cannibalism usher?
Yeah, cannibalism is not as bad as you might think. It is. I mean, the bottom line is it is usher. But for example, if you had a choice, let's say, God forbid, you were a chola, you were in a dangerous place and you were going to starve to death, and you have a choice of eating a dead animal or eating a dead human. According to halakha, eating a dead human might be preferable, because eating dead animals, which are nevela or chazer or something, these are lavim, these are negative commandments. Eating basar adam, eating human flesh, does not violate a negative commandment, but rather it's simply a negative from a positive. Since the Torah says, you shall eat slaughtered meat, we infer you cannot. So some opinions would actually say that if you had to transgress a sin one way or the other, cannibalism would be less of a sin, and therefore, now I don't mean killing somebody, I don't mean that, but if he's already dead. On the other hand, some say you have to go beyond the halacha here, meaning to say, even if in the technical averos, eating a piece of chazer is a bigger avera, but you also have to look at the idea that human beings are made kavyochol in the image of Hashem. And although not physically, but they represent godliness in the world. And this is treated as an awesome, awesome step in the denigration of God's divine image. So as a result, there are poskim that suggest that you have to look at the overall hashkafa and implications of cannibalism. And therefore, even if it's not in its crime, defined as so chamor, in its general idea, it's a very abhorrent thing. I think most of us feel that intuitively, even. So they would treat it as something very, very serious. But as I say, yeah, it definitely is usher, but as I say, the isser might only be a lav haba michlal asay, and the like. You pardon me, just I sense it's an emergency. Yeah, hello? Yeah, I told you, I'll be out in a second. Are you there now? Okay. I'm sorry, I have to take off around a two-minute break. So I'll be back in 2 or 3 minutes.